You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Back, what an interesting afternoon this has been on a Monday. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Chris is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I was listening earlier when you were talking to Bubba, talking about his question about what's the impact of Texas going to be coming into the SEC.
Right.
And I had an experience with Texas fans that I thought, you know, your viewers might be interested in.
Sure.
And so, you know, back in 2009, you know, that was the year that Alabama played Texas in the national championship game. And I happened to be traveling for work the weekend of the Red River rivalry, which was played at the Cotton Bowl there in Dallas. Well, I was at Love Field, and and I landed and walked out on that concourse, and let me tell you something. I've never seen – it was just like an ocean of burnt orange. That's all you could see in that whole place. And, of course, I'm wearing an Alabama sweatshirt. And I have only been cursed at more stridently by LSU fans. Like it was the only other – it was the closest it could be. Like, it didn't matter who it was. Didn't matter how old they were. Didn't matter male or female. It was just like, you know – I got plenty of people showing me I was number one with a certain finger, you know, yeah. those kind of things.
I hear you.
And this was midday. Like, this is the middle of the day. This is the middle of the afternoon. So I had to spend the night in Dallas there because I had to basically turn around and fly back out. And so when I got to the hotel later that night, you know, it was after once the sun went down. I'm telling you, man, when it comes to Texas fans, it's almost like the movie Gremlins. Like, don't feed them at night.
Yeah.
Like, don't let them have alcohol at night. I mean, it was unholy. And the worst ones were the female co-ed fans.
Oh, really?
Were just,
okay.
Oh, my God. Like, you don't
well, Chris,
even know.
Chris, you know, you're talking about an era of Texas football. I remember we did our show. We were on radio only outside the Rose Bowl before the Alabama-Texas game. And I'm a pretty nonviolent guy, but I mean, I nearly threw a few swings at Texas fans while on the air. They were so arrogant.
It was
I'm sure they they've sobered up and become a much much more holy football program now that they're in the SEC, right?
I mean, maybe we'll see. I wouldn't say that because we were at the Texas game this past year, my wife and I.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. She just has she don't do anything. I mean, we were there at the USC game years ago, the season opener, and this dude had turned around and was barking at the crowd. Well, he happened to be facing us. And my wife said, sir, the game's over there. Turn around, please. Right. But we were behind two Texas fans this year and Brian Denny.
Right.
And it was ungodly. It was ungodly. The dude was so bad.
I was able to deal with a few the night before, and they were great the night before the game.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the dude had told
us. But you have to remember, Chris, there's something. I was with some people at a whatever the name of that outdoor rooftop bar is in Tuscaloosa.
I know where you're talking about.
I went out with some people, and we ended up there, ran into the governor of Texas and all kinds of, I mean, all the Texas people were staying there. And they were really nice and fun, but you have to remember why this was before beating Alabama.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think they went through some sort of exorcism after that and became a different person.
I think it was the revenge of Mac Brown. It was Mac's revenge, right? I mean, Mac got Sabanated pretty bad.
Yeah. Well,
after
I mean,
championship game, and they've been waiting.
Chris, I interviewed Mac on our show about a year or two after that, and he still looked like he was going through shock treatment.
I think, you know, honestly, the people who are most happy about Saban retiring are all the other coaches in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, maybe Kirby will start Kirbyizing some of them and getting them fired. But think about how many coaches lost their positions because they couldn't beat Nick Saban. Right? Or
Chris, you're 100%
they thought they were going to win, and he beat them.
I'll never forget. So, remember the 2015 season Alabama beat Clemson? They had that onside kick. And we were doing one of those.
I was there. I was there.
Yeah, we were doing one of those crazy film room deals in, where were we? We were in Arizona. And hey, thanks for the call. And we were like inside the underneath the stadium. And I was doing the show with, who was the coach at Arkansas? Bielema? Yeah. So Brett Bielema was our guest. I was in there with, I think, Booger and somebody. I don't even remember. And at the end of the game, I just kind of made the, I said, man, what an amazing night for Nick Saban. I said, you know, maybe he would, I wonder if he would even consider retiring after this. And Bielema goes, man, don't say false things if they're not true. I mean, he said, that would be the greatest news ever. He said that on the air. And that's how much even then, I mean, that was what, 1, 2, 3 national championships ago for Nick Saban. Hey, thanks for the call. That was really cool. Tracy is in North Carolina. Hello, Tracy.
Paul. Hey, two quick things. I'm not going to talk about the balls today, but hey, Friday's show was fantastic. I want to give you a compliment. That interview with Don Staley was great. And, you know, the stories about Bear Bryant from all those people, it was really good. But now I've got a serious subject I need to talk about. We need to get Jim from Tuscaloosa to get his caller school going, because it's gotten bad. I mean, I've been listening to you since the 90s when my wife and I lived in Anniston, Alabama.
Right.
And so I've been following you and listening to you since then. And back then, I'll have to admit, most of my listening was for the callers. You know, the Jims from Crestwood, the Charles from Realtown, Bobby, right, Tammy Phillips, all those, okay? Well, now, I mean, it's got bad, and I have to agree with Jim. His last few calls the last couple of weeks have been fantastic, and he's right about the callers. There needs to be some education done.
Well Tracy, I'm gonna answer it. When we got here, I mean, we've been at this network has been up and running for almost 10 years, and we started beforehand, and this may come out in the book one day that somebody, but there was always this tug of war about the callers. I knew how important they were. And when I first got the job, I gave an interview and I said, man, this is going to be so great to be reunited with all the callers. And I got Mike Slive, who was a commissioner of the SEC, called me and said, are you out of your mind? I said, no, maybe I am. I don't know. What's the problem? He goes, He said, this is supposed to be about the players and the coaches. And I said, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I took this job. My point being, we've come a long way from those early days when there was some resistance to the callers, because these callers, I knew who they were. I knew many of them. You did. But the suits really didn't understand how important they were.
Well, the thing is now, I don't have a problem with most callers, but when a certain group of them that Jim needs to educate call up,
okay. Well,
I feel like
Tracy. Here's what we need to do. And
Gary Danielson would do it.
The second person that's mentioned
would do a balls game. Okay. I'd have to mute the whole game.
Okay, here's what we need to do. And I'm not a hunter, but I know a lot of my friends and relatives are they love to deer hunt. And why do we, every time I question somebody about hunting, here's what they tell me. They say you have to winnow out, you have to weed out, you have to thin out the herd. Otherwise, that's all you have. I mean, you'll have deer, you know, coming into your backyard and marching down the highway. I know that sounds. I think that's correct, isn't it? Isn't that part of the theory behind?
I'm not a hunter, but I've heard that.
Yeah,
but
I swear I don't understand.
I have a short list to weed out.
I went one time. I had a friend who took me quail hunting once, and a bunch of us were out there. And this guy was not to be trusted. And the next thing I knew, he was actually shooting at me because there was some quail. And I said, "That's it. I'm not trusting anybody again." My point being, You know where I'm going here, and this sounds cruel, but do you think maybe we need to start hunting some of our own callers?
Yes. And I have a short list if you
want to
hear.
Okay, I want to hear the list. Now, this is the new theme of the offseason. Who needs to be eliminated from this show?
And Jen needs to be writing this down.
Okay.
In case we figure out a way to do the school. All right. Number one would have to be Bash.
Bash, okay.
Okay.
I agree.
Number two would have to be AJ.
AJ.
And neither one of them talk about their teams or any technical stuff, you know, in football or basketball or anything else. They just bash people. And then, of course, John, even though John from St. Louis makes me laugh every time he's on, he needs some education. I'm not saying he needs to be deleted, but he needs some education. And unfortunately, Johnny B., I don't listen to you, Paul. I watch you, I should say, to hear poems and songs made up about people. There's four guys that need some education.
Yeah, no, we don't need any poetry here, and we don't need any lyrics.
No. And I'm not saying get rid of them, but let Jim have a couple hours with him, and I think it'll make a difference because he is the number one caller, I will admit. And you need to get Dwayne. I can't believe he's ignoring you. But anyway, I think I'm done. Thank you for your time, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm not going to comment on every caller. I think AJ, does AJ serve a purpose? The control room likes AJ more than we used to. Bash is just getting destroyed. I might go and get a temporary restraining order to prevent Bash from calling again. Yeah, I mean, or as Danny just told me, bash my forehead into the desk until he stops. Let's take a short break. We're back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back on the show that always changes. I bet you thought I was going to say never changes. Because the king has arrived. Jim is up
well,
next.
Well, I'm not the king. I'm not the king, but I'm a sapient fella when it comes to, you know, sorting out
calls. You're like the king, like Elvis was the king.
You know what, Paul? I'm going to tell you, that's funny you popped it up because somebody said this the other day, and this needs to be said on air. I'm going to say it because he said it in front of a big audience one night when he was performing. A bunch of girls, you know, that loved him were crazy. But, you know, he had more groupies than anybody ever seen.
Sure.
Except for me. You know, I get a lot of groupies too. But anyway.
Bigger than Elvis.
I've got a picture, Paul, of me when I was 18 years old. I wish I could. I thought about sending it to you.
I wish you would trust me with it.
I'm telling you, girls were following me. Carrying my books from school when I was 18. I'm not kidding you. But that's all. I'm not going to brag. I didn't call to brag. I called about Tracy's call. You need to consider what he said. Here's the thing about bad callers. First of all, They have no personality. I mean, like Bash. He's got no personality. He just comes on like a New York. My daddy said that was the roughest city in the world to live and work in because everybody was so mean, cruel, and rude. No personality. No, you know, just, well, anyway, yeah, that's what Bash is.
I've been there.
I know. And the thing is, you start to, that's your fault, Paul. You should never even, if you, I don't mind you, maybe, you know, having on, but you don't start the show with some moron that can't have, has no personality. And that's that guy. Also, I don't think you ever should have a caller like AJ because he does nothing but piss off just about everybody. I think he pisses off his mother and daddy. I really, all the time.
Why do you think they had him?
Yeah.
That was not a baby born in love.
Yeah. And, this Johnny B guy, I noticed today, he's starting to go, I don't know what's going on. I thought he was pretty good at one time. And you got Bubba. Hey, you ever seen a guy that's kind of more like Bubba? Yeah, I mean, you're stepping on a good call, Paul. You ever heard of any guy named Bubba that acts more like a Bubba than Bubba?
No.
Hey, man, I wish I could imitate him. He has the most dumb, redneck. Randy, don't get Randy. You get me on him too. I was gonna leave Randy out of this.
Okay.
Seriously, though, Tracy made tremendous points about what he brought up because it's hurting your show. I've talked to people. It's hurting your show, Paul.
What do they say?
These clowns on it.
Save us money for a research project.
But see, I know you won't do it. Why you won't do what Tracy said? Because you won't have any more. Oh, we think you're wonderful. You're just wonderful.
Well, yeah, we love. You're the focus group. We don't need to hire 14 people at a strip mall. We can just question you.
But I'm telling you though, I know why you won't call these callers because they're the ones that say, "Love you, Paul. We love you so much. can't do without you."
I must admit, that's good for my ego.
You're not getting much of any of that lately. And Paul, the show has gone down. It's gone down. You want the truth? It's gone down.
You talking about the people saying that to me?
What? I'm talking about the show itself has gone down because you are not the same, meet the standard of excellence that you used to be.
What's happening? Jim, could I indulge you? I mean, I need to know because I've got a big decision coming up here very soon. And I need to hear it from you.
Indulge me.
Yeah. I mean, I need to know what I should do.
You know what to do, but you're not going to do it. I've never seen anybody change 180 as much as you have when you used to be really good. I mean, if it's a bad caller, you just, bam, he's gone.
Gone.
Please, where'd that guy go?
Jim, do you think do you think it's age? Do you think I've just lost it?
No, I think because the show started getting bad.
People get older and they get in their 60s and they just don't like Saban.
I don't think it's got anything to do with that. Your brain is still the same as it was, I think.
Okay.
You're still as good as you were mentally. You're just not willing to do what you used to do.
I just want to know when it's time.
And I'm going to tell you why I think you're not doing it. Because you yourself have become so ESPN-ized.
Ooh.
That's the problem.
That really hurt.
Well, it's a fact. You know it's a fact.
Because nobody wants to be ESPN-ized.
The whole show is now.
Especially if they work at ESPN.
Yeah.
And I know what that means, Jim. I mean, you're right. We've had this private conversation.
I know we have, and you know it's true. And you made a point about a couple of years ago. You always tease the audience. You're teasing me. Oh, Paul, Jim, I think we're going back to Birmingham. I think I can't stand this anymore.
Yeah, I thought we were, but we after this call, we probably are.
We ought to.
Jim, allow me to ask you, and I know this would be better as a private conversation, but I don't have time. I need to know. Things are happening. If we ended this ESPN stuff, okay?
Right.
And we took the show back to Birmingham, assuming they would have us.
Oh, they'd have you.
How would it be better?
Back to what you used to be on ERC.
Right.
Same thing. That's all it's simple as that. No, it's not.
Jim, at some point, you have to care more about quality than whatever we get from being up there.
Exactly. And you're not, you're completely eliminating quality on this show lately. I'm telling you. I am telling you the truth. You ought to hear me and Jeff. I wish you could have a conversation between me and Jeff.
I wish you'd include me.
He don't even want to call anymore.
Yeah, the one thing
so
I don't want
he
to do is...
He told me that I'm not calling that show anymore. It's too bad. It embarrasses me.
I mean, assuming that this network will allow me to keep working here, I don't want to sign on and be able to and run it and have you call me and say, you made a mistake.
I'm not sure
I don't want that.
Mean.
I mean, everybody has a bad ending. I don't want my last show to try to run up the middle and have the center miss the snap and have my right tackle or right guard blown up. And I don't want it to end like that, Jim.
I don't know what to say, Paul. I'm trying to be nice. And I mean, I guess I, you know, maybe you don't think I'm being nice.
In a nutshell, because this is the time to make the decision. I think you know what I'm saying, don't you?
You need to be more compelling with your callers, right, with yourself, and with your staff.
Right. Okay. Because I don't want to continue on because I have limited time left.
Well, then join Saban. Go down to $18 million.
No, I don't want to do that. Jim, you know me. First of all, I don't have the money. I don't have the desire. I want to keep working. I want to be relevant. I want to not be relevant like this, but be relevant to the people that matter, like you.
Yeah, I know. Like, just because that's why I still call the show, because I want to be relevant.
So, are you saying?
Got to be more compelling, Paul.
If you were representing me right now, and by the way, what would you tell me? You would tell me, what would you tell ESPN? Because they're on the phone fairly soon here.
I tell you, you know what I tell ESPN? Get lost. And if you want to keep me, get lost. In other words, leave me alone.
Okay.
That's what I tell them.
The plane is landing here.
You need to tell
very
them, you know, he, Paul, you listen, you tell me. Oh, listen, listen to me. You need to tell ESPN what you used to say. Vickers, stand down. That's what you need.
I think I will.
Well, that was when you were good.
You can criticize your bosses now, can't you? Happens all the time.
What'd you say?
Okay, Jim, you've given me a lot to think about here.
Well, it should. I hope you just do it. Don't think about it. Do it.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Bye. Okay. Thank you. I've got to think about that. I don't mean to interrupt a good call or a good segment, but I need to go to a break right now. Yeah. Kenny.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Kenny Smith from The Athletic covers Alabama and the SEC for The Athletic, and there's a lot happening in 24, if you haven't heard. Kenny, thank you for the time. Before we get to the SEC, I would like to ask you about the last 4 or 5 weeks covering Alabama and the end of Nick Saban's reign and obviously the entrance of DeBoer. What has it been like?
Yeah, well, I'll start by telling a story. So it was actually my birthday when Nick Saban retired. So I was halfway to Atlanta to meet my family for dinner, and the news finally broke. So I had to cancel dinner, and I found the nearest Starbucks and spent 3 hours there, and was trying to write stories and try to talk to people, and then drove an hour and a half back to Tuscaloosa because obviously that was where the attention was going to be for the foreseeable future. So for me personally, it kind of turned my world upside down a bit, but I have to thank Nick Saban for making my 29th birthday memorable. And everything after that has just been a bit of a whirlwind. I think, you know, everything from Saban retiring to Kalen DeBoer being hired less than 3 days later, and then everything involving Alabama and the transfer portal, both in terms of departures and additions, has really just kind of taken the college football world by storm. So it's been a busy time, but it's been a really exciting time. And I'm thankful that I get a chance to be a part of this.
Well, that is interesting, and I don't mean to jump in the middle of this call, but I mean, if you're a writer or a broadcaster, there's always that holiday you remember that you had to get called into. Yours is a lot more dramatic than mine. A couple of years ago, on my anniversary, I literally just got home about 7:20, and my wife and I were going to go out to dinner, and I got 16 calls in about a 3-minute period to tell me to come back to work because Hugh Freeze had just been fired at Ole Miss. So you win the more exciting birthday versus dashed anniversary, and I had to come back and report exactly why Hugh Freeze had been fired. Let's get to the SEC in 24. It is a year of change. It is we've already seen recalibrations of some of the early rankings because of Alabama and others. But as you researched and reported this story that just came out, you mentioned 8 things. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the first thing that stood out was just the recalibration of expectations for certain programs. I think when we talk about expansion, it's a lot of it is focused on Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, but it's really twofold when you think about the 12-team playoff. And the SEC has dominated the 4-team era when you think about the number of teams that have appeared and the number of wins and the number of championships. But in a 12-team era, there are schools like Ole Miss and Missouri and others that can look at this from a different lens and say, in certain periods of time, when we feel like we have the roster to go for it, we can be a playoff contender too. And once you get into the playoff field, you have an equal chance of winning a championship as anybody else. So I think that's kind of what stood out to me, is that the SEC has dominated the 4-team era, and there's really no reason to believe that domination won't continue in the 12-team era when other teams have an opportunity to make it. And then coinciding with that is, what's the future of the SEC conference schedules? Are they going to continue with 8 games? Is it going to move up to 9 games? What's going to be the format? How many permanent opponents are our teams going to have? So there's a lot of questions left to be answered. Spring meetings is going to be really interesting this year. There's going to be an 8-game schedule, at least for this year. We really don't know what the scheduling is going to look like into the future. So those are a few things that stuck out to me in the course of writing the story.
And Kenny, that feels like a huge thing. It came up earlier. We were talking about next year, and I'll never forget leaving Destin last year. That just seemed like an automatic, that it was 8 for one season, and then we saw the schedule and everybody was excited, but it would definitely go to 9, and you report, even Nick Saban hinted at staying pat. And what else just are you hearing and suspecting? Because I haven't heard a thing on that subject.
Yeah, I think more of the same. I mean, I honestly would probably expect it to stay at 8, if that's what, you know, Saban has kind of hinted to in that October radio show. That's what it's going to be this year. I think it's more of a matter of, how is it going to look? Is it going to be 3 permanent opponents and 5 rotating? During that call-in radio show, Saban kind of hinted at 1 permanent opponent and 7 rotating opponents, which would really eliminate a lot of the annual rivalries in the SEC. And I think that would probably take fans by surprise. So I think it's a little bit up in the air. I would probably, at least just my opinion, probably think that it would lean more towards 8 games, which is, you know, consistent with what the ACC is doing. I know the Big 12 and the Big 10 are doing 9 conference games, so it's not like the SEC is the only conference doing this. But I think, you know, for the most part, people who are fans of the conference and people who watch the conference and watch college football would like it to go to 9 games, just to, you know, continue to have those great games and maybe keep some rivalries going, maybe start some new rivalries, renew some rivalries, and you know, have these SEC teams playing each other as much as possible.
The answer may be obvious, but I'll act like I don't know it and haven't ever heard it discussed. But what would the rationale be at staying at 8 versus going to 9, which the fans seem to want?
Yeah, I think you would just kind of point to the SEC and just their track record of, one, having, you know, really competitive conference and great games throughout. And then that hasn't really affected the SEC standing in the college football playoff. You would point to probably strength of schedule at other conferences and say, Big Ten playing 9 conference games means that they're playing a tougher schedule than the SEC playing 8. But I would combat that by saying with, you know, looking forward down the line, I can speak for Alabama specifically. They're probably going to start playing multiple Power 5 non-conference games every single year starting in this year, maybe in 2025. So that's why I would think they would stay at 8. It really hasn't hindered the SEC to this point. There really isn't reason to believe that it's going to hinder the SEC moving forward, especially when you add Texas and Oklahoma, which, unlike other conferences that are adding certain teams, those are two bona fide playoff contending national championship level teams when they're at their peak. So the SEC is getting better with the addition of those teams, and keeping it at 8 games would elevate the conference's profile and elevate everybody's strength of schedule.
And Kenny, I think another thing that you write about that yeah, may be obvious to people that work where I am, but not to everyone else, is how different television coverage of college football is going to be. Explain what is about to happen.
Yeah, starting with the SEC, obviously, as you know, the exclusive deal with ESPN. So you're going to see, you know, all ESPN platforms, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, ESPN Plus streaming SEC content exclusively. With the Big Ten, they're moving towards a kind of a trifecta deal with Fox and CBS and NBC. So you're going to see Big Ten games on those three platforms every single Saturday. And I think for the SEC, the question is, how is ESPN going to continue to tell the story of the SEC and continue to elevate its brand? What I wrote about in the story is 3:30 on Saturday for CBS and the SEC was almost like a religious experience for people in the South. They sit in front of the TVs and they hear those horns, and they hear those drums, and they hear that tune. That has become synonymous with SEC football and the way that they were able to set the stage with big games. I'm thinking about the SEC championship and everything that kind of went into it. That helped raise the SEC's profile and it made those games special. So I'm really interested to see how ESPN kind of takes that and runs with it and continues to elevate the SEC's profile and what their coverage of SEC games are going to look like, because there are a lot of great games on the schedule. I mean, kicking off with Alabama and Georgia in September, the pageantry and the intrigue around that game is going to be almost national championship level. So it'd be really interesting to see how, you know, the ESPN network continues to pick up that torch from CBS and hopefully propel the SEC forward.
And I think, Kenny, there's been some debate about, because that 3:30 Eastern window was so popular and the most watched, where to put the best games. There's a sense that, you have to put them at night, but I don't think that's automatic, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think the CBS set a really strong precedent of that, you know, late afternoon slate, you're able to watch the best game. And then after that, you can settle in and watch another conference game, you know, at 7:30. And then, you know, formerly known as Pac-12 after dark after that. So I don't think it's set in stone that the best games are going to be played at night. Obviously, Georgia and Alabama is going to be a night game. But I think moving forward is going to be kind of shifting around and trying to prioritize that, you know, marquee game in the same spot, but also trying to identify games that you can put in the nightcap as well, so you can have kind of like a back-to-back on ESPN or ABC. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that every game that is deemed the best game is going to be at night, just because I think most people, not only in the South, but across the country, are so used to that late afternoon slot being a primetime SEC game.
And I noticed something the other day with the ACC release. It was a minor thing, but I saw a lot of Friday night games. It's apparent to me, I don't know about you, that the ACC realizes they cannot compete. Nobody really can compete with the SEC.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think other conferences, and this is kind of started even with like Maction playing on different games of the weekdays, other conferences are trying to find games and days during the week where they can command the nation's attention. But as we know, the SEC, one of the dominant, the premier conference in college football, doesn't necessarily have to do those things, you know, unless it's, you know, Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving or something of that sort. So I would expect the SEC to maybe dabble in that and maybe try to put a game on Friday, you know, here and there. But for the most part, I mean, Saturdays is for the SEC. So it's going to be a really interesting competition, I think, between the SEC and ESPN and Big Ten and what they're going to have with Fox Big Noon Kickoff and then, you know, CBS 3:30 and then, you know, NBC on Saturday night to see where the nation kind of draws that interest. But, you know, the SEC on Saturdays, that's been a staple in college football. I expect it to be a staple moving forward.
And Kenny, let me end where we began with Alabama. Is DeBoer's staff about as complete as it's going to be? Where is that right now?
Yeah, the staff is as complete as it's going to be. I think, you know, starting to see assistants kind of trickling in on social media, updating their profile pictures, updating their headers. So I think it's about as solidified as it's been. He was very direct in terms of how he put together the staff, continuity on offense, most of his Washington assistants following him to Alabama on defense. He went with a lot of experience, multiple head coaches on that staff. There's going to be, I believe, 3 co-defensive coordinators, so a lot of collaboration, and it's really going to be a team effort to keep Alabama's defense at the standard that it's been at. But the staff is complete. It's allowed them to go on the road and recruit, which is something that's probably the biggest part of what Kalen DeBoer is doing right now, is going on the road, recruiting, start to build those inroads in the South. And Alabama's staff seems to be ready to roll. So all eyes are kind of pointing towards spring practice right now. And the spring portal window is going to be really critical in terms of filling out this roster and, you know, Alabama fans and Alabama's coaches hope filled playoff team in 2024.
Great stuff. Kenny Smith covers the Tide and the SEC for The Athletic. Always a pleasure to talk to him. We take a short break now. We still have an hour and 15 minutes remaining. It's been a busy show with guests. We will get to your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and what an afternoon this has been, and I mean it. You've heard some calls here that you will not hear anywhere else. I know it sounds like I'm selling cars, but I'm not. Expired is up next in Texas. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Man, we are doing great. You can tell by some of the calls here today that we're having a problem with the public.
Well, first of all, before I get into that, I just want to tell you that the guy that called in about the chicken fried steak, he was right about Mary's Chicken Fried Steak in Strong, Texas. Highly recommend. It's recommended by Texas High School Coaches Association. So that's really all you need to know.
Now, what's the name of that place again?
Really good.
Mary's?
It's called Mary's Cafe, Strong, Texas. I would say I've been there once, and I can't remember, but it may be 20 people in the whole town. And that's a true story. It's just a hole in a wall that makes an amazing chicken fried steak. And they've been doing it for a long time.
Okay.
I would suggest, Paul.
By the way, I've just looked up the menu. I'm curious what chicken fried steak costs, and it's pretty reasonable.
Probably so. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I like reasonable chicken fried steak. But let's get on to it. Okay. We're having problems with callers, and we got, you know, Jim calling in, and this is how I would screen the callers, Paul, and I'm not telling you how to do the job, but this would improve your callers.
Okay.
I would ask them one question, Paul. You know what that question would be?
What's that?
Do you believe Jim from Tuscaloosa is a good caller? And if they say yes, hang up on them immediately, okay? If they say no, let them talk, okay, because Jim from Tuscaloosa, the only thing he is annoying. Let me say that again. Annoying. I don't think he can spell that. Hopefully he can get in his dictionary.
In your spelling of annoying, is there an H in there somewhere?
It might be.
Annoying.
Annoying. Okay. And that's what he is. You know, and I'll close it like this. I don't always agree with AJ. And I don't always agree with Legend. And a few others. I like old
Now, what do you find so annoying about Jim?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. I mean, Paul, I could stay on here forever, but number one, he thinks he's a good caller.
Okay.
No, Jim, you flat out suck. Okay, that's as nice as I can put it.
Okay.
I mean, that's as nice as I can put it. But like these other guys, like AJ and Legend and Handsome and some of these guys, hey, I don't always agree with them, but they are entertaining. Okay, they are entertaining. And I would have said, old boy from Louisiana is entertaining, but he went on the mission. He's an MIA, man.
No, he's not entertaining.
He is missing in action. Don Staley done put her foot so far up. You know what? He's a kid. He feels it in his mouth.
I mean, the family has sent out a request in lieu of flowers.
That's great, Paul. That's great. Well, hey, Dwayne, rest in peace. We'd love to hear from you again. Jim, I hope you never call again. Hey, have a great day.
Thank you, Expired.
See you later, Paul.
Apparently, Jim is bad.
That guy's a complete idiot, Paul, and you know that. The guy's a complete.
No,
that's
not,
the kind
Jim,
of call
I'm
you
not,
need.
A, I'm not.
No, you are an idiot. You're a stone idiot. You're a stone. You're an idiot. You're a complete moron. You don't know. You don't know good call from bad. You really don't. You're a piss hat, boy.
Around?
You're just a piss hat. You don't like me because you're jealous of me. You ain't in my league. You ain't in my league. You Texas moron. You're just a typical Texas. Typical. Think you something when you're nothing. You ain't nothing. You ought to be. You are an ex, Spired. You are an ex.
Hey,
ex.
Hey,
you can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You're an idiot. You're a complete moron. You're a complete. You're a fool. You really are. Your calls are horrible. You're the typical.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to call this flight off. Expired is dead.
No,
he's the epitome of a jealous, sorry caller that's going to call me, who you know, you wrote in the book, I was the best of all time, and that what, you didn't just
they
say that,
before.
You know it, it's
hey,
true,
Jimmy,
because
Jimmy,
he ain't hurt, he don't care, he won't,
Jimmy,
he don't, Jimmy, he don't.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.